October 11th, 1952. It was a beautiful sunny October afternoon on a Saturday at St. Hedwig's Church on South Scott Street. Father Boleslav Stutzko married us, Wally and I. Wally, my husband, the historian, the doctor, the surgeon. Boy, could he ever make a gorgeous incision, straighter than any I've seen in my life. And the surgeries he did on feet were remarkable. He also was a good father and a provider, and he was interested in all phases of life, especially his history and the war, which we were pulled into in 1941. This particular World War II phase gave him a lot of history to read about, and the generals, the different military, whom he studied religiously all his life. He seemed to be so obsessed with why we went into this war, particularly why Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, who knew that the Japanese were going to attack us and start a war, and never let the country know. He let his people down. And this was a day of infamy that went down in history, and this is a time that so many young men got killed, and particularly our cousin, who was Aunt Carrie's boy, though I have talked about that before. But I'll go back to the wedding. Well, Wally and I were married with Pat and Dick as our attendants. Now, Pat, who was known as Patsy when she was little, my sister of 11 years younger, she married Richard Zurat. We call him Uncle Dick, and he's a real warm, kind of a wonderful person who was very helpful and has the admiration of all the kids in the family. He was standing up for us, and Uncle George, who was Wally's brother, was the best man. And then Patty, of course, she was dressed in velvet as well as Aunt Laura. She wore a blue velvet dress. And they were all made by a special lady who makes wedding clothes. And she had a gorgeous bouquet of daisies. I had all the girls carry daisies because those were my favorite. It was a wedding of about 175 people. And we went to a place called the Oldenburg Inn on the outskirts of town. It was a place where they had wonderful, delicious homemade food that they knew exactly how to prepare. Chicken that was just perfectly well done. And they had the old-fashioned noodles, homemade noodles with the sauce. And we had a big wedding cake. And I can still see my dad, Ziggy, carrying the wedding cake out of the place when we were going home with it. And after the ceremony, we came to this place. Everybody ate. And then we went over to Walter's mother's house, who lived at 542 North Scott. She had an apartment house there that was a very nice arranged setup there. We had started to rent her an apartment from her on the top floor to the right. And ironically enough, when my daughter, Melanie, and Dan Brewer were married, they lived there after they were married, so that was quite a coincidence. But it was a beautiful apartment house. It was perfectly planned by Grandma McKnight, Josephine. She was quite an architect in her day, though she'd had no training of that type. My dad gave all of us money for our weddings. My sister Pat and my sister Loretta and Lucille. Lucille was married in the same year that I was, in 52. She was married in April 17th, if I'm not mistaken, to Connie Hogan, who was a Harvard man, and she had met in New York. Now, Dad said, I can allow you this much money. You can use it all on a big dancing wedding, or you can have a small wedding, whichever you prefer, and keep the balance to give yourself a start. So that's what Wally and I did. We had the smaller wedding, and we kept the balance to give us a start, and we bought furniture. I remember buying a plain-colored Davenport, which we had also an easy chair for Wally to sit in. It was made out of kind of a greenish leather, and then I had one of these wingback chairs with flowers on it. And we bought ourselves a television set. They had just come out, I think, the year before that. And then Lucy, of course, was all the rage at that time. Milton Berle was on also. So we moved into this apartment house and Grandma's place, and I went to work to Bendix and worked there 3.5 years until Melanie came along. And then I quit my job, and we had saved up some money and bought a home on an old house on Grandview in Lincoln Way, which really was a garbage can. It was left in such poor shape, but it had a marvelous location. So we took the thing apart and cleaned it up and put about $12,000 worth of remodeling in it. And then we began our practice there. Before we were married, Wally had a place across the street. It was a kind of an abandoned store directly across, and he had practiced there until we could get enough to save up and have that old house. Well, we painted it pink. It was a gorgeous, beautiful, soft pink shade that everybody took notice to, and that was our primary purpose in painting it pink, because we wanted it to be noticed. I wanted patients to come to our door. And luckily enough, I just had a grocery store just 2 doors away, east of us there. And then, of course, the drugstore was across the street, and everything was very handy there. And I can remember when Melanie was born, and she was little, and I had her in a stroller. And I was taking her downtown to Benton's to get her first haircut. Well, she cried. She didn't like the idea. And but I took her in the stroller. We took that walk down there, and she had her hair cut for the first time. Now, with Scotty's haircut, he didn't have to go far. When he was born, I brought him over to Harry's, which was right there behind our pink house. There was a little garage made into a barbershop there. However, we had moved out to Scottsdale, and this was in about 1960, and that year of 1960, we moved in there on St. Patrick's Day, and shortly afterwards, which was May the 15th, we got word from Lucille that Connie had died, and it was a great shock to the family. It was just shattering. Well, we went to the funeral, Wally and I, and we tried to do what we could for her, but she still had 2 children. That was Neil and Kathy, and she had just given birth to a set of twins named Jan and Ann, and had to leave them at the hospital because they were only about 2 and 2.5 pounds, and so we had to come home. But that was the first true tragedy in the family, and we went on from there. Our address in Scottsdale was 4510 York Road, the second house from the entrance of Ireland Road. It was on the east side. When we moved there, there were still wild horses in the back. There were big fields, and farmers were growing things back there and everything. Well, in a few years, all the horses were gone, and everything became more citified. They began to build more homes. In the year of 1961, my father died. This was in May the 15th, and it was quite a shock to us. He had been out. He was only 64. He had been out dancing, and that afternoon he went to see the Notre Dame game, the blue and gold game, and it was quite a hot day. Then that evening he went to the Eagles. Well, the Eagles was a club he belonged to for 35 years. And he and some friends were out there, and he was dancing with one of the ladies. My mother was dancing with someone, and Dad all of a sudden gripped his chest and was sinking to the ground. And they realized they'd have to call an ambulance, so they took him to the hospital, and he had died of an artery that burst in his brain and took his life. He died that very night, and we just couldn't believe that that had happened. We hadn't really kept track of Dad like we should have. We knew that he was taking high blood pressure pills, but we felt that he was wise enough to keep taking them. He had been in business for about 10 years at 442 South Chapin Street, which is now an empty lot, but at that time he had a store that was called the Cub Liquor Store. He was quite an ardent fan of the Cubbies, and as well as a Notre Dame fan. Well, we lived at 930 West LaSalle at the time, and Dad used to ride a bicycle to work before I could afford a car. And in fact, when he had the days the money from the day's sales, he would put in a grocery bag, a brown paper sack, and come home on the bicycle with that brown paper sack. And we often wondered, now, how come he made it? Because crime was starting to rise in that area. And we thought that was really rich that he was that clever to put his money in a paper sack. It looked like he was carrying a lunch. And he'd come home. And then on Sundays, why, he'd go upstairs. And after Mass, we always went to Mass on Sunday. He did get a car then, finally. It's a beautiful green Nash. And we'd go to church on Sunday. And Loretta and I always dressed alike. And I remember these beautiful hats we used to wear and lovely coats to match. And we'd come home from church. And then he'd go upstairs and count the proceeds of the past week. And there was always ample. We ate well. And Dad had a good time going to all the games. He was finally getting to enjoy himself after raising six children. And then, as I say, in 1961, and he passed away. Well, my son was born on April 11th, 1962. He never did get to see his grandpa from my side of the family, though he knew he had a Grandpa McKnight who used to bring him downtown. And take him to Daddy's office. Walter used to have his office in the Sherlin Building in the early part of our marriage after we sold the house on the Grandview. And we went out there to Lou Scottsdale, and then he'd drive in every day and to the Sherlin Building and had his practice there. Well, after a while, it seemed like the patients were having a tough time finding a parking place to come to the office, so we decided once again what we would do is to buy a big residence. Wally was the first one to have a practice in his home, first podiatrist, and we'd call all our business the foot clinic, and he decided to find another home. So we scouted around, and pretty soon we spied this big place. He said, I want to be on Lincoln Way West if possible. So we bought this big house at 2010 Lincoln Way West, and well, we've lived there ever since. 22, going on 23 years now. We've had the office practice downstairs, and bedrooms upstairs. Had a large living room here with a fireplace. It was nice and cozy, and we lived here quite comfortably. The children grew up. Melanie was married from here. In 1977, she went to St. Joseph's High School and St. Mary's College. She had met Dan Brewer when she was going to high school, and they went together for quite a long time. Then they got married as soon as she graduated from college. Then he decided he's going to go to college, so he went to one here in Indiana and Manchester. Then he left that school because he said he missed Melanie so much, he wanted to be with her. So that's what happened there.